reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 7. Mamevamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha manasastan indriyani prakratisthani karshati. Translation. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life and in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said Sanatanaha. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Rama, Narasimha Dev, Vishnumurti and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entities also have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul, and by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal, as the Supreme Lord is. In his liberated state, he is freed from this material condition and is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. In his conditioned life, he is dominated by the material modes of nature and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the material world, Brahma, Lord Shiva and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They are all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word karshati, struggling or grappling hard, is very significant. The conditioned soul is bound up, as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is the chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in the lower species of life. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is covered by the material body with the mind and the senses. And when he is liberated, this material covering perishes, but his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhya Nandinayana Shruti. Sava esa brahmanishta idam shariram martyam atisrajya brahmabhi sampadya ब्रह्मणा पश्यति ब्रह्मणा शृणोति ब्रह्मणै वेदं सर्वं अनुभवति. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From Smriti also it is understood, Vasanti yatra purusha sarve vaikunta murtayah. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Mamaivamsha, fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, is also very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter that the spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here because the Sanskrit word sanatana is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every individual body the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Dehinosmin yata dehe. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily engagement, revives its original spiritual body in the spiritual sky, in a spiritual planet, and enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcels of gold are also gold. Oh, may I request some gentleman to come and sit here so that it will be more convenient for me. Sit. Translation once again. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So, Krishna he makes a big claim about his connection with the living entities in this particular verse. He says that every living entity in this world is connected to him, because he is the Supreme Lord. And he also expresses his awareness that he knows that the living entity in this material world are struggling very hard. With the six senses, which include the mind. In the purport, Prabhupada says, he makes this point. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord eternally. So Krishna, he describes who the living entity is. And he describes the precarious, struggling condition of the living entity in material existence also. And in the purport, Prabhupada elaborates about what is our position in this material world. What is the position of the living entity? The position of the living entity is we are eternally connected with the Supreme Lord Krishna. We are eternally his servants. And because we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna, we are struggling in material existence. So this is the truth about life. And when we forget this, then our struggle begins. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrudam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim rachati. He says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. That is, he is the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. He is the supreme enjoyer. His position is to enjoy. That is his only position. All he does is enjoy. No other business. He doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to do anything else. Krishna's only business is to enjoy life. And that is what he does in Goloka Vrindavan. Naturally, if someone is God, then what else will he do? He will enjoy. Isn't it? That is the position of God. So he is doing it. And he claims that he is a supreme enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. He is a supreme enjoyer. That is his position. And it is only his position to be the supreme enjoyer. Sarva loka maheshwaram. Krishna says, I own everything. I own all the planetary systems. Everything that is there, whatever we can see around us, everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna says, everything belongs to him. Nothing belongs to anyone else. Everything belongs to Krishna only. Suhrudam sarva bhutana. And I am the best well-wishing friend of every living entity. So Krishna is the best friend of everybody, Krishna says. And the best friend, being the best friend, he is taking care of us also. He is maintaining everybody. So in that sense, Krishna is telling, he is maintaining everyone's life in this world. That is his position. He is the only enjoyer and he is the supreme enjoyer. Second, he is the supreme proprietor. He is the only proprietor. He is the only person who owns everything. Everything that we can see around us. And he is the best friend of everybody. We cannot claim to be the best friend of anybody. Krishna is the best friend of everybody. He is the maintainer of everybody. We cannot claim to be the maintainer of anybody. So this is the position of Krishna. But the problem is, our struggle begins, Karshati. Karshati. Krishna uses the word Karshati, struggle. The struggle of the living entity begins when he tries to take Krishna's position. So wherever, whenever and wherever people of this world try to become supreme enjoyers, there will be struggle. We see that happening in this world. Wherever people want to become supreme enjoyers, then externally the struggle begins. There is conflict, and internally also there is mental struggle. And wherever and whenever people of this world, they try to be the proprietors, own, they claim to own, there will be conflict and struggle. Conflict amongst, between nations. Why there are conflict between nations? Why? Because they want to become owners. Some piece of land somewhere in the Himalayas, no food can grow there. Good for nothing land, but still there is struggle. Still, the Indian government spends around 1 crore rupees per day on that particular piece of land to maintain the military there. It's a good for nothing land. Neither we can use it for anything, but nor the Pakistanis can use it for anything. But still there is struggle, because there is claim that it belongs to us. It belongs to neither Indians nor Pakistanis. It belongs to the Supreme Lord. If both parties understand that, the struggle is over. But as long as people of this world claim that this belongs to me, someone else will say this belongs to me, third person will say this belongs to me, and there will be struggle. And then, whenever and wherever people of this world claim to be the friends, there also there will be struggle. For example, the United States of America, they claim to be the friends of the entire world. Where is the Middle East? So far away from US. Anything happens in the Middle East, they are immediately intervened there. They claim to be the supreme friend of everybody. They are not. Only Krishna is. So because they claim to be the supreme friends, there is struggle. This is at a national level. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. But even at a local level, whenever people they want, they claim to be friends, and whenever people they want to take the position of maintaining someone, isn't it? The managers of a big establishment, they are maintaining so many people under them. So everyone wants to become manager. Everybody wants to be a person who is maintaining people under them. That is a position, isn't it? What is management about? You are maintaining so many people under. You are maintaining them. So everyone wants to take that position where they are maintaining. So as long as people want to be the maintainers of others, want to be friends of others, well-wishing friends and maintainers of others, again there is going to be struggle. So there is corporate war. Everybody wants to go to the top. Everybody wants to climb on the heads of others. Everybody wants to use others as a stepping stone to success. So there is struggle going on. So as long as people of this world want to be the supreme enjoyer, want to be the supreme owners or proprietors, and as long as the people of this world want to be maintainers, maintaining others, there is going to be struggle in society. It is inevitable. There is going to be struggle in society and within everyone's mind. Within the minds there will be struggle. Karshati. There won't be any peace of mind. Why? Because this struggle is never going to be successful. We can never be the supreme enjoyers. We can never be the supreme proprietors. We can never be the supreme maintainers. It's an impossible proposition, because it is not possible. Only Krishna holds that position. And Krishna makes it very clear. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva lokameshwaram surdam sarva bhutanam. One who accepts this, then his struggle will end. his mental struggle will end. And Gyatva Mam Shantim Vrachyati. He'll become peaceful. As long as we don't accept this principle that I can never be the enjoyer, I can never be the supreme proprietor, I can never be the supreme maintainer of others. As long as we don't accept it, the struggle will continue and we are in trouble. But as soon as we accept these principles, that only Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, he is a supreme proprietor, he is the supreme maintainer of everybody, then immediately we are relieved and we become peaceful once again. It is common sense and experience also. In the history of the world, has anyone succeeded in these three things? Never. So many people, almost everybody right now, whoever exists on the surface of the globe, and whoever has ever existed on the surface of the globe since creation, since the beginning of creation, has tried to be the supreme enjoyer. But no one has become successful now, and no one has become successful in history. There is no one example of a person who would claim that I am the supreme enjoyer of everything. Whatever enjoyment I wanted, I got it. Is there anyone who can claim like that? Never. Even the richest people, they can never claim that I could enjoy whatever I wanted to enjoy. Not possible. So no one has ever been successful in being the supreme enjoyer. Someone who could enjoy whatever he wanted to an unlimited degree. No one could do it in the history of humanity, whenever it begins. There is no such case at all. It has never happened. And has there ever been any person who could own everything on the planet? So many people tried for it. There are conquerors. Napoleon tried it. He tried it. But what was the result? He had to drink horse urine. Horse urine is poisonous. So he was forced to drink horse urine at the end of First World War and died. He tried to be the supreme proprietor, but he died. Adolf Hitler also tried, but he had to commit suicide, unfortunately. So these people were successful to a great extent, actually. They conquered over a lot of land. They conquered countries. Big countries they conquered, but still in the end, they couldn't be the supreme proprietors. They died miserably. So who are we? But still, if you go to the civil courts in Bombay, there are thousands of cases where everyone is trying to become proprietor. All cases is two parties claim to be the proprietors. And so there is conflict and there is a court case. See the history of the world. No one has succeeded in becoming the supreme proprietor. And history of the world and the current world scenario, everyone wants to be the supreme maintainer. I am maintaining everybody. Everyone is subordinate to me. So many people have tried. So many people have died, but the world is going on. So if they were the maintainers, if they died, then the world should come to an end. But they are dead and gone, but the world continues to survive. That means they are not the maintainers. So many people have tried. In fact, everyone is trying to a greater or smaller degree to be the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor and supreme maintainer or the supreme friend. But not even a single person has succeeded. But still we feel, no, no, I'll still try to be the enjoyer. I'll still try to be the proprietor of more and more things. Still I'll try to own more and more things. Still I will try to enjoy more and more things. Still I will try to occupy bigger and bigger positions where I'll be maintaining more and more people. Still we are trying it. That is a funny thing. Everyone has failed, but still we are hoping that we'll be able to do it. And in this way we'll become happy. Everyone thinks in this way. It's natural. So this is the thing which keeps people away from spirituality, because in spirituality, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it very clear, it's not possible. Give up this hope of becoming the supreme enjoyer. Give up the hope of becoming supreme proprietor. Give up the hope of becoming the supreme maintainer. It is not possible. Only Krishna holds that position. No one else can occupy that position except Krishna. Accept it. This is very difficult to accept. It's very hard to accept, very difficult to digest. Even though logically it is perfectly right, as we analyze it, no one has succeeded so far. What are the chances that we will succeed? What is the probability? If you see probability, it will be 1 over how many people have ever taken birth on the planet. So many numbers. 1 over so many numbers, if we know probability theory. That is the probability. 10 to the power minus whatever number. That is the probability that we will succeed. So logically speaking, it is not possible. And even Krishna makes it very clear. My dear friend, as long as you continue trying, even though it's an impossible situation, you'll be miserable. Your struggle will continue. Gyatvamam shantiram chiti. Become peaceful by accepting that only Krishna can occupy that post. So Prabhupada, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 72nd verse, he makes a very nice statement. He says, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. So we see, for us to enter divine life, it takes only 1 second. All we have to do is accept from the heart that Krishna, you are the supreme enjoyer, you are the supreme proprietor, and you are the supreme friend and maintainer of everybody. So you hold that position, and only you can hold that position. It is only a question of understanding this and accepting it. As soon as we accept it, that's it. We have entered divine life. But as long as we don't accept it, our material existence will continue maybe for millions of years. That is what Prabhupada is telling. Now Prabhupada is making the point, it's a question of understanding and accepting the fact. So to understand it is not very difficult. As we just now analyzed, it's very easy to understand that actually only Krishna can do it. Only he is the enjoyer, only he is the proprietor, he is the maintainer. And no one has succeeded, so even I won't succeed. It's easy to understand. But to accept it, it is very difficult. Because we have been trying to do it since lifetimes. And since lifetimes we have been trying to enjoy more and more things of this world. Since lifetimes we have been trying to own more and more things of this world. Since lifetimes we have been trying to maintain, take the position of the maintainer. Since lifetimes this is going on. Our attempts to be the enjoyer, our attempts to be the proprietor, our attempts to be the maintainer. All of a sudden, it is very difficult to give up our hope. There is a loss of identity. Now what will I do? It becomes a hopeless case. It's a question of hopelessness. I'm not the enjoyer of anything. I can't enjoy anything. I cannot own anything. I'm not the maintainer of anybody. It's a hopeless case. It's very difficult to digest. For example, during the independence movement, there was one person called Chittaranjan Das. He was a lawyer working under the British. He was employed by the British as a lawyer. So he used to get a huge salary, 50,000 rupees per month. Not even now, it's quite a good amount. 50,000 rupees per month is good salary. So imagine during the British time, 50,000 rupees means during those times, for 1 rupee you will get so many kilos of rice. So 50,000 rupees is a huge, is a multi-millionaire like that. But somehow he became attracted to Gandhiji's non-cooperation movement. So the Congress, the Indian National Congress at that time, headed by Gandhiji, they inspired him. You should also help us in the independence movement and you should resign, non-cooperation. We won't cooperate with the British, we won't work under them. So you should resign from the British and that will be a big step for the freedom struggle. Such a big fellow in the British Empire has resigned his post to support the non-cooperation movement. So he became very inspired and he resigned. But the Congress, because he has resigned and he used to get 50,000 rupees per month, so the Congress gave him 500 rupees per month. You know, even 500 rupees per month during that time was a huge amount. Huge amount. We cannot even imagine today. Maybe 1 crore rupees per month, like that. Such a huge amount. 500 rupees. That is also big. But nothing compared to 50,000 rupees per month. So that was a big amount for the Congress, but it was a small amount for Chittaranjan Das. Now Chittaranjan Das, how much does he eat? Some chapati, some rice he would eat daily maybe. I don't know his diet. But how much money will be required for 3 meals every day for 1 month? Maybe 10 rupees everything is to be taken care of. During that time everything was quite inexpensive. So 500 rupees are more than sufficient for leading a comfortable life. Is it not? Comfortably one can lead one's life. If one gets 1 crore rupees per month salary, isn't it sufficient to maintain? More than sufficient to maintain one's life. But Chittaranjan Das, within very short time he died. The British didn't kill him. Why he died? Because he couldn't take the shock of getting such a reduced salary. From 50,000 rupees to 500 rupees. So you are habituated to being the proprietor of so much. You are habituated to being the enjoyer of so much. You are habituated thinking yourself the maintainer. And suddenly your salary drops. And that's very difficult for him to take. He couldn't take it emotionally. Physically there was no problem. But on an emotional level, he broke down. And he died. What a strange thing. So this shows that for a living entity who has been trying to be the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor and supreme maintainer since so many lifetimes, suddenly if he is given the understanding that actually you are not the supreme enjoyer, you can never be the enjoyer, you can never be the proprietor, you can never be the maintainer, it is very difficult for a living entity to handle this truth. It is emotionally explosive. He cannot handle it. So he might understand it, but it is very difficult for him to accept it. To accept that truth is very difficult for him. For example, long ago, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I watched a movie. So in that movie, it so happened that the person, the hero, it so happened that everyone thought that he died. He had gone to a different place and there was an accident. And everyone thought that he died in the accident. But actually, he hadn't died in that accident. So everyone thought he died in an accident. So they brought some dead body, which was not his dead body. And they cremated that dead body. And family members also thought that he died. So after some time, because he was still living, he came back. And he got the news that people had thought that he had died. So he wanted to secretly see what is the reaction of his family members, thinking that he was already dead. So he secretly watched. He didn't come all of a sudden before them. They will think that he's ghost. So he secretly came and watched. What is the reaction of the family members? To his amazement, all his family members are normal. Not much problem. So that was a big shock for him. And he became miserable because he was thinking that he is a maintainer. Without me, these people cannot exist. At a subconscious level, that feeling is there in everyone that I am needed, otherwise they cannot survive. So that he became most miserable even though he lived. And he was thinking that better if I die actually, rather than live and see this. So the living entity to accept, so to understand, we can understand logically that we are not the supreme enjoyers, we are not the supreme proprietors and maintainers. But to accept it is extremely difficult on an emotional level. And that is why Prabhupada says that it is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. If you are able to accept it, then you have attained spiritual life in a moment, in 1 second. But it is extremely difficult. It takes millions of lifetimes. And Krishna knows it is very difficult. So what does Krishna do? Krishna comes in this world and enacts so many pastimes or leelas. Now why Krishna has to come to this material world? Some might say, you know, to kill the demoniac forces on the planet. But that he can do through his material energy also. He doesn't have to come personally. His specific purpose of coming to this material world is to attract the living entities towards his pastimes or activities, his leelas. So as we were discussing, for a living entity to accept the truth is emotionally very difficult. But when he hears about the pastimes of Krishna, that Krishna, he is so attractive and Krishna is so loving. One of the special characteristics of Krishna is Leela Madhurya. You know, That is a special characteristic of Krishna, Leela Madhurya. That is his activities that he performs when he comes to the material world as an incarnation is extremely charming to the heart. It is very sweet. And in every pastime, Krishna exhibits his loving nature. That how much unlimited love he has for every living entity. So when a conditioned soul hears about the charming pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and when the living entity understands that Krishna loves me also, Krishna has a personal relationship with me too, he has unlimited love for every living entity, including me. So even though I may not be the enjoyer, I may not be the proprietor, and I may not be the maintainer, but still, what is my identity? Krishna, he loves me, he wants me, he needs me in the spiritual world. And that is emotionally so surcharging for the living entity that he can easily overcome this emotional disaster that he overcomes, that he has to undergo by accepting that he is not the proprietor, enjoyer or maintainer. It's a fact. If a person has loving relationships in this world, even though there might be emotional trauma, he can handle it. Is it not? It's a fact. Like in India, at least till now, the family fabric is quite strong. So within the family, there is good loving relationships amongst family members. So being part of it, we may not understand the importance of it. But if we see the Western society, where the family fabric is not so strong and people don't have loving relationships within the family, emotional breakdown is very common. Little ups and downs in life, and immediately they become psychic cases. So if you see the Western world, the statistics is alarming. The number of suicide cases is much, much greater than any place in India. The number of cases of mental disorders is much more than in India. And it is growing. Why? Because a person cannot take emotional ups and downs because there is no loving relationships within the family. And because there is no relationship, there is no affection and love, he cannot handle emotional tragedies. So when there is love and when there is affection, it compensates for all emotional traumas. So a living entity, for him to accept what he has been trying to achieve since millions of lifetimes, he has been trying to achieve the position of supreme enjoyer, the supreme maintainer and the supreme proprietor since millions of lifetimes, and to suddenly accept the fact that I am not it. I am not the supreme enjoyer. I am not the supreme proprietor. I am not the supreme maintainer. To accept it immediately is emotionally traumatic. It is very difficult to accept it. But he can easily accept it when he comes to understand that Krishna loves me infinitely. And Krishna, to make us understand how much he loves us, he comes into this material world and exhibits his pastimes. And in each and every pastime, he exhibits what is his relationship with all living entities of this world. And not just that, he sends his representatives time and again, his devotees who are empowered by Krishna to show affection to all the conditioned souls, to all the living entities of this world. The devotees. So a living entity, a conditioned soul, when he comes in contact with devotees of the Lord, and when he experiences that love and affection which Krishna has for him, when he experiences that love and affection through devotees, he becomes happy even after he understands that he is not the enjoyer, he is not the proprietor, he is not the maintainer. Without experiencing that love and affection of Krishna coming through his devotees, simply to accept that one is not the proprietor, enjoyer and maintainer is extremely difficult. One cannot do it. That is why Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A society where people can experience the association of devotees. People can experience the affection of Krishna in the association of devotees. And once they experience the affection and love of Krishna and the association of devotees, even though they understand that they are not the supreme enjoyers, they are not the supreme proprietors, they are not the supreme maintainers, still they are dancing. But without that association, we can try it out. If you go outside and any common person, we tell him, "Sir, you are trying to enjoy, you can never enjoy. The more you try to enjoy, the more you will become miserable." He might slap us because that's emotional trauma for him. He can't handle it. We might try to explain to him logically, but he cannot handle it. He'll either become angry or he'll never see our face again. Or we try to tell a person, "Sir, you can never own anything in this world. Forget it. You don't own anything in this world." He can't handle it. Or if we try to tell a person, "You are not the maintainer of anybody. You are not the maintainer of your body also." He will be emotionally upset. He might harm us also in anger. But how is it that when the same people come into the association of devotees, they not only accept it, but they speak it. They tell it to others also. Why? Because they experience that affection and love of Krishna coming through his devotees. So, when Krishna says here, "Mamai vamsho jiva loke," he is exhibiting his heart. Every living entity is my amsha. He is my part. He is intimately connected with me. Just like the parts of our body, every part of our body is so dear to us. Every part of our body is so dear to us. Because it's our part. Now we cannot imagine, you know, even a little finger, the small finger, we may not even notice its existence many times, but imagine it being removed from our body. It's very painful because it's our part. So similarly, Krishna is telling every living entity is mamai vamsho, every living entity is my part and parcel. That means every living entity is intimately related with him, and Krishna loves every living entity intimately. He has affection for every living entity intimately. And because we have forgotten it, or we are not able to experience it, Karshati is going on. We are struggling within this material existence. And we can again experience that affection and love of Krishna when we come back into the association of devotees. So association of devotees is very, very important in spiritual life. It's an integral part of spiritual life. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.